Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Zion. We are starting at the very bottom of Chaf Vav Amud Beis with the words Itmar Izalmeim. Gemara now is going to go into one of the more classic discussions that takes place within the course of the third parak of Sanhedrin. We have been discussing Psulei Edus, those people who are disqualified to testify. Mishnah back on Chaf Dal Amud Beis listed for us four examples of people who are Psulei Edus. Tosus over there said that these list of four people are Psulei Derabbanan, not Psulei D'Araisa. As they are, as Rashi pointed out, Cain, Gazlanim, they're light thieves, they're not actual thieves themselves. But because they show such a propensity towards money, so the Chachamim passed them from testifying. In the course of the discussion, the Gemara went into a lengthy explanation of the four cases of the Mishnah, cited other examples of people who are Apostle Aegis, and it brings us to beginning of today's daf. The Gemara has a classic discussion, a classic debate, Aid Zomim. The Gemara discusses now the case of an Aid Zomim. As we all know, Torah at the end of Parsha Shoftim tells us that if two witnesses come forward and testify on behalf of somebody, and then a second pair of witnesses come and say that the first two witnesses in no way, shape, or form could know what they possibly are talking about because they were with us at the time at the where they said they saw the crime. So then the Chiddush HaTorah, the Torah gives us a novel idea, which is that we're going to believe the second set of witnesses over the first set of witnesses. And on top of that, not only are we discrediting the first set of witnesses and believing the second set of witnesses, but Chiddush HaTorah is that Vasisim lo kasher zaman lasos la'achiv, that we do to the first set of witnesses what they conspired to do to the defendant. So whatever punishment was in store for the defendant is now going to go to the pair of witnesses who attempted to testify falsely about them. And we're going to be discussing the idea of Edom Zomimim in much greater detail in the first parak of Makos. In the meantime, however, our Gemara's discussion over here is about Psulei Edus in the context of Edom Zomimim, and the discussion goes like this. We are discussing a case where the Eid Zomimim testified in the month of Nisan, and then six months later, they were discredited by a second pair of witnesses who said Imanu Aizim Makom Ploni. And now the question here is a very simple and straightforward question, and that is that from the point that they're discredited, they are now discredited from this point going forward. Are we also going to say that they're discredited from the time that they gave testimony? They gave testimony 6 months before they were actually discredited. So now we didn't know it at the time, and obviously there were a lot of transactions that took place, and perhaps they signed on documentation, and perhaps they testified during the six-month interim period between the times when they actually lied versus the time of discovery when we found out that they lied. And now the question over here the Gemara is going to be dealing with is a very simple one, and that is that during this period where we did not know, meaning they lied already in the month of Nisan, but we didn't know, we only discovered in Tishrei. So during this duration of period, are we going to look back at that time retroactively after discovery and say that retroactively all their testimonies that they gave are going to be discredited as well? And we're basically going to go back and look at all the transactions that they did, that they affected between Nisan and Tishrei, and are we going to have to overturn all the transactions that were done? So this is a machlokes between Abai and Rava. Abai says that their psul is going to go back limafrei. It's going to go back retroactively to the time where they actually lied. And Rava Amar says no. Rava is of the opinion that they're only going to be discredited from this point going forward, but not going backwards. And the Gemara now gives a svara for both positions. Abai Amar limafrei hu nifsal meina de asid rasha hu v'atara amra tashes yadcha im rasha al tashes rasha aid. So Abai's svara is a very simple svara, and that is that we're going to go back to the point where they lied. We didn't know that they were lying at the time. We only discovered a later point in time. But the bottom line is that they lied in the month of Nisan. Because they lied in the month of Nisan, so even though we didn't discover until a later point in time, but we're going to go back to the month of Nisan and discredit them retroactive to the time of Nisan. And the Torah says that you're not allowed to allow a Rasha to testify. They are Rishayim. Now, again, we didn't know about it, but once we find out about it, we're going to go back retroactive to the time of the Rishus. And that is when they actually testified. Rava Amar Mikanu La'abahu Nifsa. Now, Rava takes the opposing viewpoint, which is no, only from the point of discovery and not going forward. Why? Because Eid Zomim Chiddushu. So the Gemara now is going to give a rationale behind Rava. The truth is, the Gemara is going to give two rationales behind Rava. This is the first explanation behind Rava, and that is that an Eid Zomim is really a Chiddush, really a novel idea. Maichas is the Samsar Ahani Smoch Ahani. Let's consider. We have a first set of witnesses who say one thing. We have a second set of witnesses who are saying something else. Generally speaking, when you have two sets of witnesses and they are saying counter information one over the other, how do we know which one to trust? And generally speaking, what we say is we don't know. And We generally, they just knock each other out. The testimonies knock each other out. Meanwhile, because this is the construct of a zameim, so therefore the Torah says we are going to believe the second set of witnesses over the first set of witnesses. But that's a chiddush haTorah. That is a novel idea within the Torah. So ein lechabo ela mishas chidusho. So since we have a novel idea, so what Rava now is arguing is that what we should do is that we should minimize the amount of chiddush, meaning the whole idea to begin with is a novel idea. So let's at least reduce the level of chiddush to the least possible application, which would be that they're only going to be possible from the time of the test. From the time of discovery, not going back to the time of the testimony. Okay, so this is one explanation within Rava in terms of why by Zomim they're not going to be possible in Mafreya to the time of their testimony, but they're only going to be possible from the time of discovery. Ikadami, the Gemara gives a second explanation, and that is Rava Namika by Isvirle. That really, truth be told, Rava holds like Abaye, that in principle they should be disqualified going back to the point of their testimony. They're rishayim from that point going forward. We learned about it at a later point in time, but Lamaisa, they were rishayim from that point going forward. So really, in principle, Rava agrees to Abaye. My tam ka'amar mikanu laba mishum seder l'kuchos. But the reason why we're only going to disqualify them from the point of discovering going forward is because of Lekuchos, meaning, as Rashi explains, because here's what's happened. In the last 6 months, from Nisan to Tishrei, from the point where they lied to the point of discovery, so we didn't know any better, and we had them signing on many documents, including transactions and purchases. And now what's going to happen is that, yeah, if somebody bought a property, he didn't know that this particular aid was an aid zomim. None of us knew it. And now the guy is signing off on the document, and now at a later point in time, we're going to have to negate that sale because of something that we didn't know about. It's not fair to the lekuchos. So as a way of protecting the lokeach, the buyer, who did not know, and again, none of us knew, that this person was an aid zomim, so therefore what the chachamim basically said is that, yes, in principle, they should be apostled from the time where they actually gave the testimony, but because we want to protect lekuchos, so therefore we're only going to apostle them from the point of discovery going forward. And the Gemara doesn't say this, and truth be told, Rashi doesn't say this as well, but I'm suggesting, and hopefully it's a reasonable suggestion, what I'm suggesting is that this is going to be based on the principle of Hefker based in Hefker, which means that in principle, really, we should be apostling their testimony, and really that means that the transaction should not have gone through, but again, to protect the lokeach, Basin has the ability to to override Dine Mamonos when they feel it's necessary. Here, in order to protect the lokeach, the Chachamim felt it necessary, so therefore they're able to push a transaction through, even though Me'ikar Din, according to the strict letter of the law, it shouldn't be pushed through. Okay, so what do we have right now? A question of a Zomim who lied in the month of Nisan, only discovered, the lie was discovered only 6 months later in the month of Tishrei. Question, are they Pasul Mafreya or not? Abai says that they are Pasul Mafreya, and Rava says they're not Pasul Mafreya. And within Rava, we have two explanations why. Either one, because it's a Chiddush, or two, because we're protecting Lekuchos. My Benayu. Now, within the two explanations that we gave within Rava, there's going to be a nafkamina. The Gemara now spells out the nafkamina. So one nafkamina would be the following. Let's say you have, again, the first two witnesses who lied. Again, we didn't know that. The first two witnesses lied. And then you have not a second set of witnesses, but another two pairs of witnesses coming afterwards. Each one attacking each of the individual original witnesses. So here, we're going to say that this is not a chiddush. If it's two against two, that's a chiddush, meaning, because why would I believe one over the other? But if two are attacking one and the other two are attacking the other one, so here we would say that in a situation of two versus one, so we extend more credibility to the two over the one. So under these circumstances, it's not a chiddush, and we would say under those circumstances that if the whole svara behind Rava is that it's a chiddush, this is not a chiddush. Therefore, we go back to the point of testimony. If we're saying that the svara behind Rava is to protect lekuchos, here too, we still interested in protecting lekuchos, so we would then delay the psul until after the point of discovery. Inami de pasul begazlenuso. The Gemara says another nafkamina. Let's say the second set of witnesses are not saying anything about the testimony itself. As far as the testimony is concerned, their basic position is we know, we don't know, meaning whatever. But in terms of these first set of witnesses, and their ability to testify, what they're saying is they should not be testifying because they themselves are thieves. So what they're really doing is discrediting not the testimony, but the people who are giving the testimony, meaning the witnesses themselves. And they're saying that they're gozlanim. Under those circumstances, certainly we're going to believe the second over the first, not on the testimony, but on the fact that they should not be testifying in a court of law. And so therefore, there's no chiddush over here. Under normal circumstances, we would believe a pair of witnesses if they're saying regarding two other people that they are gozlanim. And so there's no chiddush over here. So again, if the issue is a chiddush, so here there's no chiddush, so therefore we go back to the point of testimony. If the issue is over here protecting the buyers, so here also we'd be protecting the buyers. So these are two nafkaminas between these two reasons that are provided within Rava. Now there was an incident where there was an aid actually discovered to be an aid zomim. And Rapapi Paskin like Rava, in which he only postled it from the point of discovery, not from the point of the actual testimony. Marb Ravashi Amri Hilchasa Kavasa De Abaye. Marb Ravashi tells us Halacha Zakabaye Vehilchasa Kavasa De Abaye Beyalkigam. And in six places throughout Shas, the Halacha falls Zakabaye, this being one of the six places. Meaning Eid Zomim, that's the ayin of the Ya'al, of the first word. So that is the one of the six cases within Shas where we're passing like Abaye over Rava. Meaning most of the time through Shas, we're passing like Rava over Abaye, except for these six exceptions. Take a look at Rashi over here, who cites and tells us where we could find the other five examples of the Yal Kagam. Interestingly, the Gemara itself never actually tells us what the Yal Kagam stands for. I mean, obviously, contextually, we could certainly see what the Yal Kagam is, but the Gemara never spells it out itself. And another point of interest is that the Rishonim actually debate over one of the Yal Kagams, what do they actually stand for. But in the meantime, however, for our purposes right now, the halach is like Abaye, and that the Ezomim is Pasal Mafreya. Next part of the Gemara's discussion. Mumar Ochel Nevel Sateyavon. Let's say you have somebody who is a Mumar, he's not holding by Torah mitzvos, and he's eating non-kosher, but he's doing so l'teyavon, but it's because of his yetzahara. Meaning he doesn't have any philosophical issues against the Torah, nor against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but his yetzahara is just simply getting the best of him, and he's caving into his yetzahara. So, divrei hakol pasul la'pasul. So everyone's of the opinion that such an individual cannot testify. Meaning divrei hakol over here, meaning Abaye and Rava. Both Abaye and Rava are going to be in agreement that he can't testify. Why not? In other words, he's caving into pressure, but why does that mean that that according to everyone he can't testify? So Rashi says basically that's exactly why, because he's caving into pressure. Meaning, I'm reading the Rashi inside, caving to Mishum Maman Ka'avid, Daha Shchicha Bezol, Tvei Midahe Tera, Havale Kerosha Dechamas, Apostle Eidus. So Rashi says, look, probably what's happening is that the non-kosher is cheaper. And part of what the Yetzirah is telling him and convincing him to eat the non-kosher is, why spend all the money on kosher? You could be spending less money, you could be buying non-kosher. So clearly, we now know that he can be bought. And for savings of a little bit of money, he's ready to eat non-kosher. So that means that this person, so his morals and ethics are such that he's easily buyable. So once we know that we can buy him, so that means now that if he's going to be offered a little bit of money in order to testify, he'll do that as well. So Rashi describes him as being like a Rosh Dechamas, meaning we simply know that this is a kind of person that doesn't have very high ground and high scruples and can be purchased, and that's why we are suspect of his testimony. Lahachis. Now, here it gets interesting. What if the person is a ochel nevelos, he eats not kosher, but he's doing so because it's lahachis, meaning he has issues with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he has issues with the Torah, and just to get back at Hashem, so he's eating non-kosher. So the Gemara says, under those circumstances, so is he going to be a kosher aid? Interestingly enough, for the Amumah L'Teyavon, which we may consider to be, in terms of trying to grade the Avera, is less of an Avera, meaning it's his Yetzirah that's getting the best of him. Over here, Mamish, the person over here, has philosophical issues. He's got real Hashkafic issues. So on one hand, you could say he's worse. Okay, you can make that argument. I know you could quibble with that argument, but you could say that he's worse. But over here, however, regarding his credibility, is not as impugned. Abaye Amar Pasul, Rava Amar Kasher. So here we actually have a machlos between Abaye and Rava in terms of whether or not he can testify. Abaye Amar Pasul, Davalei Rasha, Rachman Amar Tashes Rasha Eid. So Abaye says very simply, look, he's eating non-kosher, and he's doing so intentionally. So now he falls under the category of a Rasha. He's violating Yisuri Torah. And as a result of that, he's going to be puzzled, and he can't testify. Rava, on the other hand, says, no, he's kosher. Why would he be kosher? So Rashi de Chamas Binan, because says Rava, in order for somebody to be disqualified to testify, it's not sufficient that he be a Rasha, but he be a Rasha de Chamas, meaning that he be the kind of Rasha where clearly what's driving him is money. If you're a Gazlan, what's driving you is money. If you are a Ganif, same thing. If you are an extortionist, what's driving you is money. If you're gambling, so like the examples, all the examples in the Mishnah, so what's driving you is money. So if you're violating an Avera and there is profit and gain to be gained from this Avera, monetary profit, so under those circumstances, you're going to be Pasul. But over here, he's Ochel Aveil Slahachis. He's eating non-kosher. And he's eating non-kosher because of the Hashkafic issues that he has with eating kosher food. Okay, terrible, right? It's most unfortunate. But what Rav is now arguing is, but he's not a Rasha de Chamas, meaning what's driving him is not profit, and so therefore there is a level of integrity that he still has, and Rav therefore is of the opinion that he would be able to testify in a court of law. Now, Meisvei, the Gemara now is going to be challenging the opinion of Abaye based on the following Brisa: Al Tashes Rasha Eid, Al Tashes Chamas Eid, Elu Gazlanim Umolim B'Shvuos. So the Brisa here quotes the pasuk. The Brisa then says that this pasuk is making reference to a Gazlan and somebody who abuses Shavuos, meaning he's ready to make Shavuos and with no regard of whether or not it's a truth or it's a lie. So my love, Echad Shavuos Shav, Echad Shavuos Mama. Now it says Shavuos in the plural. Now, probably that's making reference to two types of Shavuos, one being a Shavuos Shav and the other one being a Shavuos Mama. Shavuos Mama is like the Shavuos of Modim Mixas or Eid Echad, a Shavuos of Pekadon, where somebody claims you owe money and you make a Shavuos in order to absolve yourself from that obligation. Clearly, what's driving you is money. Shavuos Shav is you point to a stone and you say that's gold. You point to gold and you say that's stone, and you swear to it. So there's no monetary gain by that. What the motivation is of a person making such a Shavuos, it's hard for me to explain, but certainly there's no monetary gain. So if the Brice is talking about both types of Shavuos, so what do you see? You see that both, when you are making a Shavuos Shav and a Shavuos Mamon, so you're going to be Pasul Eidos. So I misspoke earlier. I said that this is a Kasha against Rava. It's a Kasha, it is a Kasha against Rava. It's a support for Abaye. Meaning this would seem to indicate that whether there is monetary gain or there is no monetary gain, if you're violating the Torah, then you're Pasul Eidos. And this would support Abaye. So the Gemara says, lo. Idi Shavuos Mamon. So the Gemara says, no, they're both talking about Mamon and my Shavuos Dama. And the fact that it says in the plural just simply means oaths in general, meaning if a person is abusing oaths in general, so then he can't. But in terms of what the oath is about, it's about mamon. Okay, so the Gemara has now defended Rava. The Gemara continues. So here the Brice giving a very clear definition of who cannot testify. The Brice over here says a thief and people who lend with interest. Clearly, these are Isurim of the Torah, which has a monetary gain. And clearly, these are going to be supportive of the opinion of Rava. So, So the Gemara says that this Braisa clearly refutes the position of Abaye. And at this point in time, if we were to stop at this point in the daf, it would seem like the halacha would fall like Rava on this issue. But stay tuned, as we're going to see, that's not in fact the case. Kitanai. Now, the Gemara now is going to suggest that the machlokes between Abaye and Rava is going to run parallel with the machlokes between these Tanaim, who are going to be Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. We're going to expose ourselves to a Brisa, see the Brisa inside, and it's going to seem like this Brisa of a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi is going to be aligned with the machlokes between Abaye and Rava. Again, Abaye and Rava are arguing over a person who violates an Issa in the Torah that does not have a monetary gain, that does not have profit, and meaning what we'll call just simply a Rasha. Is such an individual possible? So Abaye says yes, and Rava says no. Rava says the only one who's Pasul Eidos is only going to be the person who's going to be driven by money and is violating the Torah because of a monetary gain. So now the Gemara quotes the following Brisa: Kitanai, Aizam, and Pasul Chola Torah Kula, Divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rameir's position is that if someone is discovered to be an Eidzomim, so he cannot testify again for anything. Not for civil cases, not for capital cases. Rabbi Yossi Omer Bemed, Ramamurlam Shuzam Bedina Nefashos. Rabbi Yossi says it depends. If he's an Eidzomim who was proven to be a false witness in a capital case, so then he's going to be puzzled across the board. Aval Huzam Bedina Mamunus Kashla Dina Nefashos. But if he was only proven to be a false witness for a monetary case, for a civil case, so that only is going to possible him for civil cases, but that will not possible him for capital cases. And so we have now a machlok between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi in terms of whether or not when a person is caught lying, is he going to be is he going to be totally rejected from ever testifying again, or is it going to be a limited rejection? And name Abai, Rav Meir, Rava, Rav Yossi. And now the Gemara says, let's line it up. Abai holds like Rav Meir, meaning Abai says that once you're a Rasha, that's it, you're done. You're out of the discussion. You can no longer testify. And Rav Meir seemingly goes right alongside that, because Rav Meir says that when you're discovered to be an Eid Zomim, and it does not matter whether it was a civil case or whether it was a capital case, once you're discovered to be an Eid Zomim, that's it, you're done. And there's no equivocation. So Abai seems to line up perfectly like Rav Meir and Rava, Rav Yossi. And Rava holds like Rav Yossi. Remember, Rava's of the opinion that the only one who can testify is a Rasha Dechama. It's only when there's monetary profit. And what Rav Yossi is saying is that when you have an Eid Zomim, and he was discovered that he only was an Eid Zomim for a civil case, so he'd still be allowed to testify for a capital case. So you see that according to Rav Yossi, similar to Rava, it's not exactly the same, but similar to Rava, the idea is that there is it's a limited exclusion, it's a limited rejection of the aid, but it's not a full rejection of the aid. So Abai Kerav Meir V'Rava Kerav Yossi. Abai Kerav Meir Dam Ramina Mikula Chumra. And the Gemara just spells out what I just spoke out, that Abai holds like Rav Meir that we go from Mikula Chumra, we go from the lenient to the harsh, meaning both Abai and Rav Meir are going to take whatever action that he does and extend it and make it a unanimous and a uniform disqualification of the aid. And Rava Dam Kerav Yossi, and Rava holds like Rav Yossi Dam Ramina Mikula Amrina Mikula Chumra Lo Amrinan. That if he violates a lighter crime, he's only rejected for the lighter testimony, but he is not immediately rejected for the harsher testimony. So the Gemara says, "Aliba de Rav Yossi kula amar lo pligi." So the Gemara says like this. Okay, as far as Rav Yossi is concerned, the sheet of Rav Yossi goes. So we're going to all have to agree that there is a machlokus between Rav Yossi and Rav Meir. We don't have to agree. That's clear. That's evident. But we're all going to have to agree that Abai and Rava cannot both be agreeing to Rav Yossi. And we're going to have to line up Rava like Rav Yossi, and we're going to have to say that Abai does not hold like Rav Yossi. So the Gemara says that's clear. Ki pliga liba de Rav Meir. But however, where there is room for a more expansive viewpoint is within the sheet of Rav Meir. Now Abai ka Rav Meir. Now Abai certainly holds like Rav Meir, because Abai says that once a person is a Rasha, that's it, he's disqualified. Very similar to Rav Meir's viewpoint that once an Eid is discovered to be an Eid Zomim, doesn't matter what he was testifying about, whether it be civil or capital, even if it were just civil, he'd be disqualified from everything, from capital cases as well. So to put Abai together Rav Meir, that's very easy. Virava, but the Gemara now is going to argue that I can even put Rava alongside Rav Meir. How am I going to do that? Rava, I can't look at Rav Meir also melagabe eid zomim. So I will say that Rav Meir's position is limited to an eid zomim. Why? The mamon dera l'shamayim v'ra l'brios. Because when a person's an eid zomim on a civil case, so let's consider what just happened. He came into court and he lied. The Torah says you're not allowed to lie. So already that's an affront to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And also in his lying, what is he doing? He's taking money away from another person. So in Eid Zomim, there really is both. Bin Adam Lamakam, Bin Adam Lachavero. It's an affront to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it's an affront to his neighbor. So there, Rav Meir says that under those circumstances, when a person's in Eid Zomim, I can easily make the argument that since it really is two affronts, one to Kadosh Baruch Hu and one to his fellow man, so therefore he's going to be puzzled across the board. But a person is eating treif, and he's doing so just simply because of his hashkafic issues, having nothing to do with profit and gain. So this is just an affront to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So maybe such an individual, we could make the argument that Rav Meir would say that such an individual, on one hand, does not have the deference and respect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but maybe Bein Adam L'Chaveru, maybe has a lot of respect and a lot of deference to his fellow man. And just if we have a little bit of experience of life, so you know people like that. So they don't show respect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but they have a lot of civil, they have a lot of respect for other people. So the Gemara says, so we could make the argument now that even if you take Rava's position, it could very well be that he agrees to Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, V'hilchasa kavasa d'abaye. Now the Gemara says, now in conclusion of all this, we're going to say that the halacha follows like Abaye, that once someone's a Rasha, so that's it, he can't testify under any circumstance, not Dine Shamayim, and not, I'm sorry, not Dine Mamonos, and not Dine Nefashos. So the Gemara says, V'ayu susev. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we just quoted a number of braises that clearly was supportive of Rava and not supportive of Abaye. So the Gemara says, Hayi Rabbi Yosihi. So the Gemara says, okay, but we could say that those braises belong to Rav Yosi. So the Gemara says, V'tavi nami Rav Yosi. Rav Meir Rav Yosi, Alachak Rav Yosi. The Gemara says, okay, so now that we've identified the author of those braises like Rav Yosi, so what? That doesn't help us. We know generally throughout Shasta, when you have a machlos between Rav Meir and Rav Yosi, the halacha falls like Rav Yosi. So over here, the halacha is going to fall like Rav Yosi, which means then that we should be favoring not the opinion of Abaye, but we should be favoring the opinion of Rava. So the Gemara says, Shani Hasan, Desasan Lantanaka Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, okay, but I have a mitigating factor over here in terms of why it is that we're going to pass on the halacha like Rav Meir, and that is the following. Because there is a Stam Mishnah somewhere in Shas that passes like Rav Meir. And the Gemara now is assuming that if I have a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yosi, but in favor of Rav Meir, I have a Stam Mishnah, so Rav Meir plus a Stam Mishnah who's siding with Rav Meir is going to trump Rav Yosi. And now all the Gemara needs to do is just simply tell us where is the Stam Mishnah that supports Rav Meir. The Gemara is not going to just simply give us that information by itself. The Gemara is going to give us that information in the context of a story, and we begin the story. We are on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud, and the Gemara tells the following story. Where does the story told? Where do we know that there's a Stam Mishnah going like Rameir Ki Had Bar Chama Katal Nafsha? So the Gemara tells the story of Bar Chama. Bar Chama was accused of killing somebody. Amar Le Reish Galusa Le Rav Ad Bar Yaakov. So the Reish Galusa tells Rav Ad Bar Yaakov Pokayin Ba. So go and do an investigation on this matter. Ivade Katal Likuhu Yale Enei. Now, if he for sure kills, so that we should do is we should dim his eyes. Okay, Rashi over here points out, and the Rashi over here is addressing really some basic issues, and that is that we're obviously dealing in Galus. So this is now the Reish Galusa we're talking about. This is Bavel, and we know that we're not done Dina Nefashos in Bavel. We don't judge capital cases in Bavel. So the discovery of this person, whether he did or didn't actually kill, like what can we, the Jewish community, do about it? What kind of punishment can we give? The only way you could be done Dina Nefashos is only by Smuchim, which only can be done in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, the Gemara later on is going to teach us in Sanhedrin that even for the last 40 years of Bai Sheni, so they weren't judging capital cases. So over here, we are well past that point in time, and we're in Bavel, so for sure we're not going to be judging capital cases. So what are we talking about over here, where Reish Galusa is basically saying, go and discover if he actually committed murder, and so we could do something about it. And what are we going to do? So the Gemara says, somewhat cryptically, we're going to dim his eyes. So Rashi over here gives three pshatim of what that means. Rashi's first pshat, I'm reading the Rashi inside. Yinakrus einav de batlu misas beisin v'hai kanasikav dinam be de beisin makim v'onshin shalom in haTorah. So Rashi says that actually we're going to poke his eyes out. We can't enforce misas beisin. This is just a punitive measure. And Rashi says that beisin has the power and the ability to give physical punitive damage to somebody, even though the Torah doesn't warrant it. Now, admittedly, within the first pshat of Rashi, it still seems a little bit harsh. Although, again, if he actually committed murder, so obviously we'll allow Basin to figure out what to do in the event that they can't kill him. But still, it comes off as being very harsh. But to be fair and honest, Rashi actually prefers his first pshat. You'll see Rashi inside. Rashi gives a couple of other pshatim. I'm not going to go through them now. But certainly within the first pshat of Rashi, basically we're going to do something about it if in fact it's proven that he committed murder. So Bar Chama now, let's get the story straight. Bar Chama is now being taken to court, investigated by Rabbi Abba Bar Yaakov in terms of whether or not he did or did not kill the victim. And so here we are now in the trial. And we are continuing in the Gemara. So Asu Trei Sahadi Asidu Bei. So two witnesses are testifying about him. Remember, we're talking about a court of law and within halacha, within the framework of Sanhedrin. And the only thing that serves as actual evidence is going to be witnesses. Aiden. So we have two witnesses who actually saw the murder and are coming forward and are testifying. And they're saying, Vadekatal, yeah, he's a Bar Chama's a murderer. So Azul Ioi Su Tresahadi Asidube. So now the defendant brings in two witnesses himself, and the two witnesses now are testifying about the two witnesses who are testifying about him. Now, normally we call that Edim Zomimim, but as we're going to see very clearly, second set of witnesses are not saying Imano Yizim Amakom Ploni, that they were with us at the time, but what they're doing is they're actually discrediting the witnesses themselves. They're saying that the first set of witnesses have no business testifying as they themselves are Pasal Eidos. So one of the second set of witnesses comes forward and says, Chanamar Kamai Didi Ganav Kaba Dechushla, that right in front of me, one of the witnesses stole peeled barley. V'chanamar Kamai Didi, and the other one says that in front of me, the witnesses sold Kata Debortia, the handle of a spear. So basically now the second set of witnesses are accusing the first set of witnesses of stealing. Interestingly enough, they're not saying that it was the same act of theft. There were two different acts of theft, but it's very clear from the Gemara over here that as long as there's a common denominator to how these first set of witnesses are being impugned, so then they are in fact discredited, even though it's not over the same act of theft. But in the meantime, however, second set of witnesses now have come forward. So Amrle my daitech Rab Meir. So the Gemara says now, here's where we're at now in the proceeding. This is a capital crime against Bar Chama. Two witnesses came forward and testified that Bar Chama did in fact commit murder. You have now a second pair of witnesses who say regarding the first set of witnesses that they're gazlanim, they're thieves. Now, even if they're right, let's assume that they're right, that the first set of witnesses are in fact thieves. So, this gets back now to the machlokus between Abai and Rava, and the machlokus between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. Meaning, even though we have now established that the first set of witnesses are thieves, can they testify about a capital case? Because the only thing we've established is that they do like money, and they're not trusted as it relates to money, but this is now a capital crime. And are we, in fact, now going to discredit them as it relates to a capital case? So, Amar Leh Mai Daitech, Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, now, really what's at issue over here is, do we pass like Rav Meir, do we pass like Rav Yossi? If we pass like Rav Meir, so then they are now disqualified for any kind of testimony, including capital cases, and then the case is going to be dismissed. If, however, we pass like Rav Yossi, so that means that these witnesses, although proven to be thieves, would be allowed to testify in this case, because this case is a capital case. So the Gemara goes on to explain. So, my daitech Rav Meir, Rav Meir, Rav Yossi, Kalachik Rav Yossi. So, in arguing now in favor of the first two witnesses against the defendant, the Gemara now is saying that, you know, the halacha between Machlosh and Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, halacha follows the Rav Yossi, Omer, who is a medin and mamas, kashal din and afashos. And Rav Yossi says very clearly that just because someone lied in a case of, in a civil case, does not disqualify him in a capital case, and this is a capital case. So Amalei Rav Papi Hani Mile Hechadolosa Samlantana Karebi Meir. So Rav Papi says, yeah, but that's only when we don't have a Stam Mishangon like Rav Meir, but Hacha Samlantana Karebi Meir. But over here, we do have a Stam Mishnah like Rav Meir Mimai. So the Gemara says, now where is the Stam Mishnah? So this is a part of the story that we're interested in right now, because this is what the Gemara questioned right before we launch into the story. And the story now and the Gemara are coordinating to teach us where exactly do we find that a Stam Mishnah is going like Rav Meir. So Elam Mehadadnan. So the Gemara says, perhaps it's coming from the following Mishnah, called Raila Dundina Fashas Raila Dundina Mamanos, that someone who's fit and qualified to judge capital cases is also fit and qualified to judge monetary cases, money. Elam Rav Yossi, he. So the Gemara says, now this Mishnah cannot be going like Rav Yossi, because Haikai Zamim Demaman, the Kashlo Dina Nefashos Apostle Dina Mamanos, because somebody who lied in a civil case, according to Rav Yossi, can't testify and cannot judge in a civil case, but certainly can judge in a capital case. So Alalav, and the Mishnah over here says that whoever is unqualified to judge in a capital case is unqualified to judge in a civil case, and clearly this Mishnah is not going like Rav Yossi. Alalav Rabbi Meir, he. So it must be that this Mishnah is found like Rav Meir, so we now have found the Stam Mishnah going like Rav Meir. The Gemara deflects this proof. The Gemara says, Dilma Bipsula Yuchsen Kai. The Mishnah over here maybe is not talking about where they were disqualified because of something they did, but said they were disqualified because of their yichus, of their lineage. Dilo Tema Achi Sefa Diktani. The Gemara says, consider. Let's take a look at the second half of that Mishnah. Yesh Raila Dindin and Mamanos. There are people who can testify about monetary law, Vein Raila Dindin and Nefashos, but cannot testify about capital law, about capital cases. Zamayin Raila Dindin and Nefashos, Raila Dindin and Mamanos. So the Gemara says, well, presumably, if we're going with our pshat, it's because they lied previously about a capital crime. So the Gemara says, oh, but they never lied about a civil crime. The Gemara says, v'hadivrei kol pasahu. The Gemara says, yeah, but if they lied about a capital crime, then we have nobody arguing. There's no dissent. If somebody's lying about a capital crime, he is assumed to be a liar for all cases, both capital and civil. Civil is more lenient than capital. If he's lying about a capital crime, for sure he would lie about a civil capital crime. So there's no way that the Mishnah over there is talking about a psul that has to do with their integrity. So Ela b'psul yochsen kai, it must be talking about lineage. So achanami b'psul yochsen kai, and that means that in the first case we're talking about lineage as well. Rashi points out, what do we mean when we're talking about lineage? So Rashi quotes the Gemara that's coming up on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, that just like Kishem Shebeitzim Menukim B'Tzedek, I'm reading the Rashi. Kishem Shebeitzim Menukim B'Tzedek Shenamar B'Tzedek Tishpo Kach Beitzim Menukim Mikol Mum Shenamar Kulei Efech Rayasim Mum Ein Bach. So the so we know that there's a general idea that a basin has to have a certain amount of yichus. Now is that true across the board? So not necessarily. You drop down a couple of Rashi's later. Well, Rashi writes Ela B'Psul Yuchsin Kai Kegon Ger Mamzer Dikshen LaDundin Mamanos, both a convert and a mamzer. So they can try cases. They can sit on the bench, but only for civil cases. But psulim la'din din nefashos, but they can't try capital cases. We're going to discuss that more in detail later on. But in the meantime, however, the Mishnah is talking about psul yichus. It's not talking about a question of ne'amanus and credibility. So back to the drawing board. Where do we find a Mishnah that clearly goes like Reb Meir? So elahacha kasasam lantana dinan elan psulim. So we're going to look now at another Mishnah. The Mishnah reads, this Mishnah, we saw parts of it already back in the on Chav Dalet, Amud Beis, and also this Mishnah is repeated in Rosh Hashanah on Chav Beis. Mishnah writes, so these people are disqualified, right? The gambler, the lender with interest, the pigeon racer, and the one who commercializes Per Shvius. And adds the Mishnah, we didn't see this part in our Mishnah. In fact, if you look back at Tosus on our Mishnah, Tosus says that this next word doesn't belong in our Mishnah, but anyway, veha avadim, and slaves as well, zaklal, and then the Mishnah makes a general statement. Again, we didn't see this in our Mishnah, but this is in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Zaklal, kol edishen raha ishak sherala af hein ink sherala. Anything that a woman cannot testify, these people cannot testify. Now, money. So the Gemara says, now let's think about that last statement of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, now wait one second, according to Rav Yossi, if let's say these people who are clearly just interested in monetary profit, which means that they can't testify and they can't judge, but only according to Rav Yossi, only in civil cases, they would be allowed to testify in capital cases. So, but meanwhile, we know that women are puzzled across the board. So the Mishnah's last statement, whatever they're disqualified for, women are disqualified for, according to Rav Yossi, it's simply not true. So I love Rebbe Meir. There's one author of that Mishnah, and that's Reb Meir, and clearly this Mishnah is following the opinion of Rebbe Meir. It's a stop Mishnah, it's going like Reb Meir. So here we have now proof positive that Reb Meir's position is the accepted position, that once somebody lies in court on a monetary case, he's going to be disqualified for both monetary cases and for capital cases as well. And so basically now that we've proven that the halacha is like Reb Meir, so now going back to the story, so what happened? So the first two witnesses now are disqualified. And then they no longer could provide the ample evidence and testimony we need in order to convict the defendant. The defendant in this case was Bar Chama. And the Gemara now gives us the epilogue to the story. Very interesting epilogue to the story. Kam Bar Chama Nashke Akare. So Bar Chama got up and he kissed the feet. And Rav Papi, who's been defending him, meaning Rav Papi, who defended him by discrediting the witnesses, by properly discrediting the witnesses, by proving that the halacha falls like Rav Meir, and now that these witnesses are discredited, so Bar Chama went and he kissed the feet of Rav Papi, and in addition to kissing the feet of Rav Papi, he also made the pledge to pay the taxes of Rav Papi for the balance of his years. We would normally refer to that as bribery, and we know the Torah says, "Al tikach shochad, lo tikach shochad." You're not allowed to take bribery. So this is its own separate discussion. The first thing you could say, just as a response to that, is that this is bribery after the fact. This is not bribery before the fact, or otherwise stated, bribery is only an issue when you attempt to bribe before the case. But if you're going to give a bribe after the case, that may not be an issue. Although that argument in itself is not the strongest of arguments, because that would be true the first time around. What about the second time around, the third time around? Meaning when people know they expect a bribe after the case has won for the individual. In the meantime, however, I'm not delving into that topic, but suffice to say that Bar Chama was very happy being acquitted from the trial of murder. As a quick recap of the day, we We started off with a machlokus between Abai and Rava regarding an Eidzomim, whether he's Pasul Mafreya. Abai says he is Pasul Mafreya, Rava says he's not. The Gemara gave two explanations within Rava why he's not Pasul Mafreya. Either it has to do with the fact that it's a Chiddush, or it has to do with a consideration for the Lekuchos. The Gemara gave two Nafkaminas based on this. The Gemara says that the Halacha here follows like Abai. This is one of the Akagams. The next discussion of the Gemara regarding a Momer Ha'ochel Neveil Sateyavon, someone who eats and not kosher, but because it's cheaper, so clearly this person can be bought. According to everybody, he is pasul eidus. Then the Gemara talked about a mumel hachis, somebody who violates the Torah but having no financial gain, no profit. Abai and Rava did debate this issue as well. Abai said such an individual is going to be pasul across the board, and Rava says no, he's only going to be pasul. He will not be pasul. Rav is of the position that he still has integrity, he still has principle, and despite the fact that he's eating non-kosher, but he's not pasul. As far as the Torah is concerned, when the Torah says that you're not allowed to have a Rasha testify, Rav understands the pasuk to be Rasha de Chamas. It has to be somebody who is doing an Avera with a monetary profit. Furthermore, the Gemara then cited a number of braises supporting Rava, but again, the Gemara concluded that in this issue as well, the halacha is going to be following like Abaye. And then the Gemara brought in a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. When a person is proven to have lied in a civil case, does that automatically disqualify him from both civil and capital cases? That too is a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. Generally speaking, we passing like Rav Yossi, but here too we're going to be passing like Rav Meir, and that when a person lies in a civil case, he's going to be passed across the board for both civil and for capital cases as well. We saw today an entire story regarding Bar Chama, who had two witnesses who were proven to be thieves, and because we passing like Rav Meir, so therefore they are going to be disqualified for both civil cases and for capital cases as well. And needless to say, Bar Chama was supremely happy that he was acquitted. When we begin next, we'll start with the Mishnah regarding the Krovim.